You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. How would you say, Miami? Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for watching the DolphinsTalk.com podcast brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined as always by my partner in crime, Tom Hennessy. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm good. The wind's howling. The snow is blowing. Nothing better than a nice frigid Western New York evening. But we're here to talk some Miami Dolphins end of the year awards and also the update on the coaching search here for the team.
Yep, we're going to get into all that here in a minute. But first, as always, a big shout-out to everyone watching and listening at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. For those of you watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group, run by the great Carlos Hernandez, thank you. Be sure to share this video on Facebook and be sure to subscribe to the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And also, for those watching on the DolphinsTalk.com YouTube channel, thank you. And for those of you who aren't on YouTube, be sure to go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, smash that like button, also hit the alert bell anytime a new video comes your way. And we'll get to all the head coaching news and rumors and stuff that's out there. But Tom, it's one of our favorite shows. Well, all depends on how the year goes.
Yeah. Well, the last 2 years, you know, obviously we missed the playoffs, but at least the team was winning.
It ended the year, yeah. It's true. Yeah. We got some end-of-year awards. Same categories as last year. Just some new nominees here for each one. And let's start off with Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year. Now, this is a tough one. Most years, one guy sort of stands out. This year, I think you got a few nominees here for the Dolphins. So here are your four nominees, in no special order, folks. Javon Holland, Jalen Waddle, Liam Eikenberg, and Jalen Phillips. Tom, I will let you go first. Who is your 2021 Rookie of the Year for the Dolphins?
Like you said, this is tough because the rookies, the top three guys that were taken for the Dolphins this year, all played a very important role with the football team. You know, Jalen Phillips, impressive 8.5 sacks this year and only played 53.4% of the snaps. Javon Holland, 2 interceptions, 69 tackles, 3 fumble recoveries, massive impact on that defense. But it's going to Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle with a tremendous season. He won the team's MVP award. He broke the rookie reception record that was held by Anquan Boldin in 16 games. And, you know, it's close. But for Rookie of the Year, Jalen Waddle gets the nod for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. It's Waddle as well. You could make a case there for Holland. But to me, it has to be Waddle. Because he was legitimately, it's not even up for debate, the only player on this offense who's any good. You got the tight end who's, let me rephrase that, who showed up every week and helped them win games. Because the tight end is good, but there were some weeks where he never got the ball and he was just a non-factor. Yeah. Waddle was a factor every week he was out there. To me, it's not even close. Rookie of the Year of the Miami Dolphins goes to Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
Let's go to the next category, which is Game of the Year. And in some years, we got a lot of options. This year, I came up with four, but a couple of them might be really pushing it. But again, when their wins outside of like the Ravens and the Patriots really run against the who's who of good teams. So week one at New England, Tom. Week 10, Thursday night, home against the Ravens. Week 12, home against the Panthers, only because it was their only easy win from start to finish. And the week 15 versus the Jets, where Tua throws a pick six and leads the last second drive just because it's a last second drive. I can't put the Week 18 game on there because it was a meaningless game. So I can't put a meaningless game on there because that was an essentially a preseason game that did not matter for the Dolphins. So what is your game of the year?
For me, it was the Week 10 game at Baltimore. That was the turning point of the season, and that kind of really jolted this team to that seven-game winning streak. You know, you look at that game, Jacoby Brissett starts for God knows what reason other than the fact Brian Flores hates Tua. He gets hurt. Tua comes in, leads a touchdown drive. Xavier Howard have a fumble recovery, return for a touchdown, and that was the turning point of the game. And to me, that was the game of the year because it did jumpstart the winning streak for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, they beat Houston the Sunday before, but the Baltimore Ravens coming into that game, I want to say their record was like 5-2 or something like that, 6-2. It was really good record, and the Dolphins took care of business in that game and jumpstarted that winning streak.
Yep, I hate it when we agree, but we are on the same page. Once again, the Ravens game was the game of the year because they only had two wins heading into that game. Beating Houston was no big whoop, and it seemed like the Patriots game was like light years in the past. So that was the game that sort of got that streak really kickstarted there. Yeah. And it was an exciting game, obviously, with the Howard touchdown and the fumble was exciting. And just from start to finish, probably – and plus we never beat the Ravens, and we always lose in prime time, it seems like. Yeah. So just overall – a lot of good there. Defensive player of the year. This one, there's a few candidates here. You could go in a few different ways. Christian Wilkins, Xavier Howard, Emmanuel Agba, and Jerome Baker. Tom, who gets your defensive player of the year?
This was tough because between Wilkins and Agba, both of those guys had a huge impact on the defense. Agba was ridiculously good at knocking down passes the line of scrimmage. He also had a good amount of sacks. Christian Wilkins was one of the leaders in run stops for a defensive lineman in the NFL this year, and his impact in his year three was lights out comparison to the first 2 years. Jerome Baker came on late in the season and made a much bigger impact than he did in the first half, but it's going to Xavier Howard. You ask a guy that is asking for more money to be paid, the highest paid corner in the league, and you ask him, all right, we're going to incentivize you to do that. And what did he do? He went out, 5 interceptions, 16 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles. He had the closeout forced fumble against the Patriots and then the touchdown against the Ravens. And this was the first time really back-to-back seasons where he was healthy. And he deserves that contract from the Dolphins, or he's getting shipped out for a plethora of picks, so to speak. But Xavier Howard, for me, is the defensive player of the year. I have Wilkins second on that list.
I hate it when we keep agreeing. But, yes, Xavier Howard is the defensive player of the year. Agba, you can make a case for. Wilkins, you can make a case for. But, Howard's the best player on the team. So it goes to Xavier Howard, offensive player of the year. And there's no four options because the offense is so stinking bad. I can't come up with four people. I only came up with three. And honestly, one of them probably shouldn't even be on this list. It should only be two. Mike Gesicki, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle. It's Waddle.
We don't have to talk too much about this.
No, we don't. It's Waddle. I put Tua on there just to be kind because I was, scrambling for names. I really couldn't find any. I mean, outside of Waddle and Mike Gesicki, this offense was just so void of talent. I couldn't find any. Now, here's a tricky one. Usually, the Miami Dolphins make a lot of moves in the offseason via trade or free agency. This past year, not so much. So this category, most years, we have a flood of candidates. This year, it is. Best offseason acquisition, trade or free agent. Jacoby Brissett, Malcolm Brown, Duke Riley, Adam Butler. Go, Tom.
I can't give it to Malcolm Brown because he was hurt most of the year. Adam Butler was a more sparingly used defensive lineman. He did have some impact. Don't get me started with Jacoby Brissett. I'm going to give it to Duke Riley.
Man, we agree again.
Duke Riley, 26 tackles. He's a good special teams guy. He made a huge splash in the offseason by landing that Instagram model that he is now engaged to. So Duke Riley, you, sir, are the best offseason acquisition, because tip of the hat, sir, well done. You played your hand properly on social media and you got the girl you wanted.
Yes. I give it to
Riley. And he did okay on the field.
He was pretty good on the field when he had to fill in at linebacker and also on special teams. And like I said, it's a down year in that category. It's a down year in that category. Now let's go on the flip side, because this year we have some more candidates on the other side. Worst offseason acquisition, trade or free agent. And let me just read the four nominees. Then I'm going to make a proclamation. Michael Pilardi, Greg Little, Jason McCourty, and the winner, and who will now this award be named after moving forward, the Will Fuller Worst Offseason Acquisition Award moving forward each and every year. He wins the award. He wins the category. It's not even up for debate. It's not even a close second. It's Will Fuller, and this award will be named after him in upcoming seasons.
Yes. It didn't take me too long to write that down. Listen, the man made $3.33 million per reception this year. Congratulations to Will Fuller and his excellent play.
And when the story comes out, which it will,
yep,
Dolphin fans will hate him even more. Let's go. Most improved player. This is always my favorite category. Most improved player.
Yeah. Robert, this is a tough category.
This is a tough one too. Robert Hunt, Brandon Jones, Michael Dieter, and Zach Sealer.
I want you to go first, because I want to be surprised if we got this right.
Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones is why? Same one. Brandon Jones to me. Holland gets all the press. Holland gets all the praise. Holland gets all the pub. To me, Brandon Jones is just as good. I mean, he might not be as good in coverage, but what he gives you with sacks and his ability to blitz a quarterback and sort of move down into the box is outstanding. Yep. And really, you could have given it to I would say either Zach Sealer or Jones probably would have got this one, but I got to give it to Jones. I'm a huge fan of Jones. And Brandon Jones is, the most improved player in 2021 on the Dolphins.
I had Brandon Jones as well. He started 13 games versus 5 his rookie season. He had an interception, 79 tackles, 10 quarterback hits, and 5 sacks in this season. I was a close second, actually, with Robert Hunt. I was very impressed with him, because when you look at how poor this offensive line was, he was actually the steady hand.
But that's what hurts him. That's what hurts him, is that everyone around him is so bad. As long as he walks on the field and he doesn't fall over his own 2 feet, people give him credit. And I don't know how good he is. I got to see him around other players who are good. But he did have, compared to the rest of the offensive line, you know, he was
his end of the
best
year
of a bad bunch.
His end of the year numbers were tremendous.
Yeah. It's a low bar, though. It's a low bar.
It's a low bar, but he had some good games.
Yeah. And he should be a nominee, and he should be in the conversation for sure. Let's go worst loss of the year. It's always a fun one, because there's a litany of them to pick from this year. Worst loss of the year. Week 3 versus the Raiders. Week 6, Jacksonville in London. Week 7, Atlanta at home. Week 17, the Tennessee Titans getting destroyed and ending their season. You want me to go first, or you want to go?
This one we may disagree on. Okay. But I'm going to piece together a couple of these real quick. The Raiders game was a heartbreak because they won on a last-second field goal, where the Dolphins had the chance to win that game with a no-call on Will Fuller, where he was interfered with in the end zone, so that sucked. The Atlanta game, throws two interceptions, gives Atlanta a lead, brings them back in the game, takes the lead, and then they leave Kyle Pitts one-on-one on the outside, which was mesmerizing in all the glory of the Dolphins' losing streak at that time. The Titans game, we know how bad that was, but I'm taking the Jaguars game. That, to me, was the nail in the coffin on the season when it came to that losing streak, and that propelled the team in a further downward spiral, because losing to the Jaguars is no easy feat. And, man, did they play bad in that game.
No, you can't lose to Urban Meyer, and this is why you are my twin brother from another mother. We do agree again. The Jacksonville loss. Jacksonville was one of the single worst teams in the NFL this year, if not the worst, I think. And I know they beat the Bills. I get it. The Bills didn't show up. They had an off game, and clearly the Bills are a great team. And they
beat the Colts.
And they beat the Colts, which they seem to own the Colts. Don't ask me how. It's just one of those things where the logos, if they're on the field at the same time, they own them. It's just one of those
kinda
things.
It's kind of like the Dolphins with the Patriots. It doesn't matter how bad the Dolphins might be. They find a way to beat them.
They give them fits. So, overall, yeah, it's the Jacksonville because they really had the game won. I mean, they kind of did. They had the game won. Yep. He lost to it was just a overall just a demoralizing game.
Yep.
Let's go. Moment of the year. Oof. Moment of the year. Now, three of them are positive. One of them is negative because it's a moment. It doesn't have to be a good moment. It's just the moment that made you go like, OMG, that moment. Okay. First one. The Jacoby Brissett to Jalen Waddle bubble screen safety versus the Raiders, arguably the worst play in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkins, 1 yard touchdown reception versus the Jets. Everyone, you know, that brought smiles to faces. Jalen Waddle, when he broke the NFL rookie reception record, week 18 versus the Patriots. And also against the Patriots game, the Sam Agüevan fumble in the end zone where final play of the season. So, out of those four categories, out of those four nominees, I should say, who gets Tom your OMG moment of the year?
Can I at least have an honorable mention before?
Sure.
The honorable mention moment of the year was the Robert Hunt touchdown that wasn't.
Oh, that's true.
Man, did that get some press?
That's right.
Man, did that get some press?
Yeah, that's true. That is a good one.
It should have been a touchdown. Damn it.
Not an eligible receiver. I mean, it should have been a touchdown.
I don't care. It still should be a touchdown. Big men scoring touchdowns should be touchdowns.
As long as they report.
Damn it. I'm still saying it's a touchdown. Moment of the year, Jalen Waddle breaking the reception record. To me, that was the feather in the cap, so to speak, of a season that kind of fell short of expectations. But Jalen Waddle exceeded every bit of those expectations. You know, yes, it's a 17-game season, but he did miss a game because of COVID. So he did it in 16 games, the same as Anquan Boldin. So that rookie record for him is a huge deal, and that is my moment of the year.
Yep. I got to go, and I'm sorry because it will be a play that will live in Miami Dolphins history, like in the Super Bowl, even though they won the Super Bowl, when Yepremian tried to throw a pass. Missed, blunder. It went to Washington. I won't say the other way. And it ran it back. The Brissett to Waddle bubble screen in the end zone versus the Raiders will go down in infamy. It will be one of the most remembered plays in Miami Dolphins history. On the negative side, that, I mean, in real time, I think most fans of Dolphins just looked at their screen and was like, whoa, jaws on the floor. That is the moment of the year to me. The Brissett to Waddle bubble screen in the end zone versus the Raiders. Which probably cost them that game, actually.
It did. That safety cost them the game because Miami had all the momentum in that game until that moment.
Yep. Let's go with the play of the year. This is more on the positive side. The play of the year. Here's your four nominees. Week one, Xavien Howard forced fumble, which wins the game against the Patriots in Foxborough. Week 10, Xavien Howard fumble recovery, return for a touchdown versus the Ravens. Week 11, Tua to Mac Hollins, 65-yard touchdown pass against the Jets. Week 16, Nick Needham starts off the game with a pick six versus Ian Book and the Saints. Tom, what say you?
I'm going to say the Tua to Mac Hollins, 65-yard touchdown pass, because at that stage, between the Tua non and the Tua haters, nobody could agree on anything but the fact that Tua launched that ball beautifully to Mac Hollins and a 53-yard strike in the air, and then, you know, Hollins doing the rest, tiptoeing the sideline. That was a huge moment for the team, and obviously during the winning streak, that was good to see. Close second for me was the Xavien Howard fumble return for a touchdown against the Ravens.
This is one where we don't agree. I go with week one, Howard fumble, forced fumble versus Patriots because it won the game.
Yeah,
so to me, that was a play of the year. So that's one where we don't agree on. I go with that one. Howard forced fumble week one. Let's go to assistant coach of the year. I always like this one. And this one's always a little tricky. Assistant coach of the year. We have Austin Clark, the defensive line coach. Gerald Alexander, I know who's everyone's personal fan favorite there, the defensive backs coach. Josh Boyer, the defensive coordinator. And Anthony Campanelli, the linebackers coach. I couldn't pick an offensive coach. I'm sorry, folks. I could not pick anyone on offense. So all the assistants had to be on one side of the ball. I'll go first. I'm going Josh Boyer. They flipped a switch midway through the season, and they got more out of that side of the ball. I think, yes, a big part of it is they played bad quarterbacks. I get that. But still, he was the – I think he had his fingerprints all over that, and he really did. He was a big part of the turnaround on defense. So I'm going Josh Boyer.
Yeah. You could look at this. Josh Boyer, obviously in charge of the entire defense. It came down to me between Austin Clark and Gerald Alexander, and I'm going with Austin Clark. He did a tremendous job coaching that defensive line. Emmanuel Ogba, career year. Christian Wilkins, career year. Raekwon Davis took a nice step forward in his second season. Zach Sealer performing at a good level off the bench. Adam Butler. I mean, you can keep naming guys on that defensive line that made plays this year for the Miami Dolphins. So Austin Clark, for me, is the assistant coach of the year.
All right, we are down to three more categories. So let's do this one first. The unsung hero of 2021 for the Miami Dolphins. First ones first. Here's your four nominees. Let's go. Nick Needham, Zach Sealer, Duke Johnson, and Durham Smythe. Tom, who is your unsung hero for 2021 on this Miami Dolphins team?
I went back and forth on this one and decided that I couldn't give it to Duke Johnson because he was only here for five games,
He was here for a few months. I had the same exact reason. Not long enough.
Not long enough, but he was here long enough, except the coach, you know, left him on
Yeah.
Anyway, I went Nick Needham. Continued improvement, you know, undrafted rookie, struggled in his rookie season, came on stronger in year two, and played pretty damn good in year three, where I think the Dolphins, depending on the new coach, obviously, they might not keep him around because he is a good slot corner. I think he's found a home there. And he did a great job this year. 59 tackles, 5 passes defended, 2 interceptions, and one of them was a pick six.
Yeah, I went with Zach Sealer just because I thought that line this year went to the season. Obviously, they moved on from Shaq Lawson, and they moved on from Devon Godshaw as well. There were some question marks going into the season, and I thought he did a heck of a job. Thought he did a heck of a job sort of stepping up, filling a role that was much larger than the role he filled in 2020, and just a big fan of him. So I went with Zach Sealer because his name wasn't mentioned most, a lot in the season, but he did make a lot of very good plays that helped them win games in that stretch. So I went with Zach Sealer. This one I know is going to get people in a tizzy. Most disappointing player of 2021. Here's your four nominees. And folks, these are just nominees. It's not that serious, so everyone calm down. Here's your four nominees. Tua Tagovailoa, Will Fuller, who I don't even know should be on here because I think you have to actually play to be a disappointing player. Jesse Davis and Miles Gaskin. I think this one's a slam dunk. Who do you have?
You can't say that Jesse Davis is the most disappointing player because he disappoints every year he plays.
Yeah, but he was worse.
He was god awful this year. Yeah. He got our quarterback killed second week of the season against Buffalo. He got the quarterback absolutely annihilated, which put the season in a tizzy. But looking at this, you go between Will Fuller or Tua Tagovailoa. I have to say Tua. Because he did not live up to the expectations that we as fans and as an organization, they expected out of him. I think, for the most part, he was hurt, the broken ribs, then the finger, and then whatever, God else, Brian Flores. Golf. You golf. Yeah, sure. We'll go with golf too. He is good at golf. But, I think, again, I think he was okay this year. I think he made strides, but he also had some downfalls. And, you know, it was an up and down season for Tua. One week you're like, wow, he played pretty good. And the next week you're like, oh God, why did he throw that pass? And it seemed like it was every week he had that one throw that you just want to rip your hair out. Tua was the most disappointing. I'm hoping that he's not on this list next year.
I am shocked because you are one of the biggest Tua homers out there. And I'm shocked you picked him. I went Jesse Davis because I thought he really was that god awful. Here's the thing with Tua that really, I think, soured a lot of fans on him, not just, obviously, the head coach, Brian Flores. The final four games of the year, there is no way to put a positive spin on it. Tua was really, really bad. And I know even the game against the Jets, people can say, he led the drive. He wouldn't have had to leave the touchdown drive if he didn't throw the god-awful pick six prior. The last four games, the Saints, one drive over 40 yards the entire game. The Titans game, we all know, is a mess. And last game against the Patriots, he really wasn't that good. The team won, but not really because of him. The last month of the year, Tua was not good. Now, with that said, I didn't pick him to win this category. I went with Jesse Davis, but Tom Hennessy off the Tua train.
I am not off the Tua train.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Last category, team MVP. The big one, the team MVP. Your nominees are Emmanuel Agba, Jalen Waddle, Christian Wilkins, Xavien Howard. Tom, what say you?
So, you know, I'd like to give a participation trophy for the MVP to Christian Wilkins and Emmanuel Agba. I think both of them were tremendous this season. And, you know, it was a toss-up completely between Waddle and Xavien Howard. You have the best guy on the offensive side of the ball, the best guy on the defensive side of the ball. I went with Xavien Howard. He, again, nothing against Jalen Waddle. He was absolutely incredible, but the defense is what led the way for this team this year. And Xavien Howard is proof in the pudding that if you have an elite shutdown corner, a lot of good can happen. And he made a lot of good happen with that defense, especially in that back half of the season when the entire defense was elite. Going down the stretch of the season outside of that Tennessee game. But Xavien Howard, to me, was the team MVP with Jalen Waddle a close second. But participation trophies for Agba and Wilkins because they were both tremendous as well.
Yeah, I went with Waddle. And the reason I went with him is because for a rookie to pretty much carry this offense is what he did this year. He had no running game to help. He had no offensive line around him. No other wide receivers really stepped up. The quarterback play was lackluster. At least most weeks, he carried this offense. And this team does not win any games if most weeks he doesn't do what he does, which is move the chains, score touchdowns, and catch 9 or 10 balls each week. To me, it's Waddle. He gets the team MVP, which for a rookie is unique. It's not something you see every year, but he was that good this year. He really was that good.
He was tremendous.
He was tremendous. And I think he carried this team, especially second half of the year when the offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah. One last thing regarding Jalen Waddle. You know, a lot of people talk about the trade, you know, prior to the draft, moving up the board, moving down the board, doing all that other stuff. When it all said and done, I will take Jalen Waddle 2023 first and a 2023 third round pick over Devonta Smith. I'm sorry.
But would you have just sat a three and just took Chase? That's the real story.
You could have, but
that's what they probably should have done. But whatever, they can't go back in time.
They were also planning on Cincinnati taking Penei Sewell.
Well, that's what you get when you assume. And that's why we're the Miami Dolphins. baby. That's why Cincinnati's got a game next week, and we're looking for another stinking head coach. So, Tom, let's get to some ads here. I do have one eye on this Rams game where nothing's happening. There's nothing like the NFL playoffs. Move over, Bills Mafia. It's time for Balls Mafia with our sponsor of today's show, Manscaped. They are here to remind you that the recipe for success in the playoffs is to protect your franchise quarter balls. The road to the Super Bowl is never easy, but the road to your Super Balls is a few clicks away. Take the Lambeau leap and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on your order. And get free shipping this year. take your package to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This package will change the way you approach preparing your field before the big game. A grooming routine isn't complete without applying the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner before showing off your 2020 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are the biggest boost to your self-confidence in the new year. Let's blitz poor hygiene all night and use the best tools for the job. Be sure to go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% your order. Get free shipping. Tame that playoff beard in your pants. It's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with a promo code DolphinsTalk. When grooming your most sensitive areas, why play in the wildcard game when you can take the safety of a first-round bye with Manscaped?
I like
Tom, BetUS, betting season is still going on. And if you want to bet, not just on the NFL, but the NBA, the NHL, if you want to bet golf, UFC, boxing, tiddlywinks, you name it, go to BetUS.com. Promo code DolphinsTalk, 125% sign-on bonus. I had a very big weekend. Hit two separate parlays. Hit one on Saturday and Sunday combined with the Bills, -4. I went Chiefs, Tampa Bay, money line. Boom, made some money. Then on Sunday, I did a three-teamer on Sunday with all of Sunday's games. San Francisco money line, Chiefs laying points, Tampa Bay laying points. Made some big bucks there. For all of your bets, go to BetUS.com. Promo code DolphinsTalk, 125% sign-on bonus. That is BetUS.com or 800-MY-BETUS. They have bonus codes. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. Follow my lead and get your phone online social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. That is BetUS. You bet you win, you get paid. All right, we're going to close up the show here with what everyone wants to hear about. That's the Miami Dolphins head coaching search that is ongoing. They have asked and requested to talk to 7 people. 2 interviews are in the books that we know of. Sunday, they were up in Buffalo meeting with Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier. And outside of that, there's not a lot of confirmation that the other 5 candidates have accepted these requests. Now, everyone else is still, well, outside of the guys for the Cowboys now, they still are in the playoffs. And that that might change with the Rams game tonight, as Thomas Brown could obviously be eliminated there too. Who knows? Because we are recording this during the Rams against Arizona, which is tied at 0 right now. So here's the deal. And I wrote a few articles about this up at DolphinsTalk.com if you want to hear more of my long-winded view of this. I think Dolphins fans have to sort of temper their expectations here. And I know a lot of fans – look, as I always say, Tom, we are not a homer podcast. I am not here, and we are not here to tell you what you want to hear to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. We have to be honest and call it like it is. Out of all the job openings right now, the Miami Dolphins is not very attractive. If you are a big-time candidate who is going to have multiple offers probably or have their pick of a couple jobs, you are not going to Miami for just a simple reason. You know, you have an owner who is known to fire head coaches on a whim. Every couple of years, you're going through a new head coach. You have a general manager who is here. He's been here 20 years, and he never seems to leave. So there's a good chance he will outlast you. Or you can take the view he's on a red-hot seat, and he's going to be gone in the year. And if he's gone in the year, I might be gone in the year, and I'm not going to move my whole family. Just be gone in the year. And 3, you know, and I think this is where a segment of the fans of the Dolphins have to understand. Outside of the 305 area code, the world doesn't love Tua Tagovailoa. I know fans of the Dolphins do. Chris Greer clearly does. Most of the NFL world, and by NFL world, I mean scouts, general managers, other players, they don't love him. So for a new head coach to be told, he's your quarterback, fix it, make it work, that's a lot. You're asking a candidate, look, like I said, the top name candidates who are like a Quinn, a Brian, Daboll, Harbaugh, if he does even entertain this. You're asking them to maybe turn down another job, like the Giants, who are going to hire a general manager, head coach coming together. They're going to have time. Like the Bears, they're going to have a general manager and head coach coming together. They're going to have time. Like the Vikings, head coach, general manager coming together. They will have time. You go to Miami, you might not have time. You might just have 1 year. Because if Tua, who's being forced on you, isn't any good, then you might be out of a job 12 months from now. With the general manager and the quarterback, there might be a clean sweep and you're all gone. So you might only have a year because you're not going to have time. These other organizations, yeah, they might have less salary cap space. They might have less picks in the draft over the next 2 years. They're not going to have an extra pick in round one in 2023 like Miami does. It doesn't matter because what the one thing you don't have in Miami is time. And if this is your first chance to be head coach or someone like Quinn, maybe a second and last chance, he's going to go someplace where he's going to set himself up for success. He's not going to go someplace where it's going to be like, I don't know, this whole Miami organization seems awful crazy. They just let go of a coach who won 10-9 games. I don't know. I don't love the quarterback like most people don't love the quarterback. I have to make it work with him. I don't want to do that. It's not a great situation. I know fans get upset. This is more than just, well, they have a really good defense. They don't care. These coaches all have an alpha type mentality where I'm going to build a great defense wherever I go. Now, if you go to Miami and they regress even some, you're going to get blamed for ruining the defense. So that's a lose-lose almost. So I know it's an unattractive job. And Tom, I'll let you jump in. Here's what I'm saying. If you want Quinn, if you want Brian, I don't think you're getting the top candidates. And right now the top two candidates are going to be Quinn and Brian Daboll. I just don't think, and there was a report out today on Monday that Quinn's already got like a star-studded staff ready to go. Wherever he takes a job, he's got his staff in place, and it's names weren't leaked, but supposedly it's very good. I think Miami fans have to temper their expectations, and you're probably looking at, and I know fans aren't going to like this. I know. I'm not going to like it, but I think more realistic options for the Dolphins are Leslie Frazier, Vance Joseph, Jim Caldwell, who they haven't even asked to talk to yet, but I think they will. Those are the three most realistic options, I think, for the Dolphins.
Okay. I would dislike it. I wouldn't mind Leslie Frazier.
But that's reality.
I wouldn't mind Leslie Frazier because he's had a ton of success in the league. You know, especially as a defensive coordinator, look at the Bills defense and how well they've been going the last couple of years. So we would know that the Dolphins defense likely wouldn't regress with a Leslie Frazier in house, but can he bring in offensive coaches? That's the big question. For me, I'm still on the Doug Peterson train. I would love if they would finally sit and talk with him. I don't know if they're just doing this circumventing of all these coaches and just kind of get an idea of who Doug Peterson's going to end up talking to and then swoop in the last minute with a Dan Marino phone call to bring him in for that interview. Who knows what direction they're going to go. Obviously, the young names that are out there, the Thomas Browns, the Mike McDaniel of the world, those are, you know, and based off Stephen Ross's track record, that is the likely scenario, is that he's going to go with that hot young candidate because that's all he's done. Adam Gase was the...
But that's all he could get, too. He's not getting these top guys because nobody wants to play. No one wants to work for him. This is what right. Fans don't understand.
They don't want to work for him. Listen, one thing that I will say, Mike, after all of this, Chris Greer is still here with the Miami Dolphins. After all of it.
But that's not a positive for a head coach.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But if you're looking for someone that's got job stability, Chris Greer's got all of it because he's still here, you know, and they didn't hit the reset button at the general manager position, which, like you said, is causing some potential disruption with the candidates that they can get. They interviewed Daboll, they interviewed Frazier. I don't think those are their top choices, in my opinion. I think they do want to get a guy like a Doug Peterson. I think they do want to try to get, a Mike McDaniel type, a Thomas Brown type. They want those type of coaches because we know based off all the reports what didn't work with Brian Flores. And that was, you know, how he spoke to people and this and that. Listen, it's an NFL. It's the NFL. It's a job. A boss is going to be a boss. They're going to have to yell at you from time to time. But you have to understand this is a new modern age of player. You know, these are the millennial snowflakes. Players coming in.
I mean, they're snowflakes. That's not what it is.
They have a certain way that they like to do things and a certain way they like to be talked to. That's just unfortunate facts is what it is. But again, I hated the fact that Brian Flores got fired. I wish that he was still here with the Miami Dolphins, but he's not. And here we are. We're doing a coaching search. We're moving on.
Yeah, here's the thing with the young guys, Mike McDaniel, Thomas Brown, and Kellen Moore. When it comes to Moore, everyone is always going to talk about, well, just look what the Cowboys did. So, it's more than just one game, guys. More than just one play. It's a body of work. Okay. No one gets caught up.
They're number one offense in the NFL.
Nobody gets caught up on one play. It's a body of work that you look at. Yeah. So with those three guys, yes, would I love Mike McDaniel? I'm on the Mike McDaniel train. I would love Mike McDaniel.
Me a running game.
I will take him.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
I would roll the dice. Here's the problem. Is Chris Greer going to roll the dice on him? Because he's been here 20 years. And one of these times, he ain't going to survive. And we're probably getting to that point where if 2022 is not a good year, he isn't going to survive. Is he going to put his job on the line with a Mike McDaniel, Moore, or Thomas Brown? Now, look, if you can't get anybody else, say on their wish list at the top is, you know, Quinn, then, you know, whoever, you know, and they can't get him, you have to take who you can get. Okay, there is that here, too. So he might be stuck with them. I would love Mike McDaniel. He's the top of my list because I think he's the type of guy that outside the box thinking where he's either going to be a slam dunk home run type guy or he's going to be like brutally awful. And I don't think he's going to be awful. I think he will. And when people say he can't lead a team because he kind of looks like a nerdy guy, this, he's not that. But look, Marv Levy went to an Ivy League, was about 5 feet tall, and he got the Bills to win a lot more than they lost in four straight Super Bowls. So, yes, he doesn't look like your prototypical head coach. And in some cities, if this was like Chicago, if this was Pittsburgh, if this was New York, would that fly? Probably not. But in San Francisco, where he is now, Miami, I think you can get by with someone like that. So he's a top of my list. With Peterson, here's the issue. It seems like thus far, Peterson comes from that Andy Reid tree. And since Miami hasn't reached out to him or Eric Bieniemy, they might not be into that whole Andy Reid type of coaching tree. Because if you're going to ask to talk to one, you're probably going to ask to talk to both. And the fact they haven't yet. Now this could all change. It's still just 1 week old. This is still very fresh. They still could. I just don't think they will. I think they kind of like who they like, and that's guys who have already been head coaches one. And then if not, they're going to take a flyer on somebody. But you know, Albert Breer, Saturday night during halftime of Patriots-Bills, did a Twitter Live. He mentioned, keep an eye on Jim Caldwell in Miami, even though they haven't talked to him yet. He thinks that's where they're going to ultimately end up. Because, once again, if you do go Vance Joseph, if you do go Jim Caldwell, like I said, if 2022 isn't good, and say they go 7-10, you can fire everybody. No one's going to cry that. No one's going to cry that Jim Caldwell just got 1 year. Because he's been a head coach before. No one's going to cry. And same thing with a Vance Joseph type. If he's here just a year, no one's going to cry. So I think that's who you're probably looking at. The Vance Joseph, Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier. I think those three guys, I think, are the most realistic. If I was in power and I had a magic wand, Mike McDaniel, obviously Quinn, I just think is a slam dunk for anybody. But that's why I think he's going to have multiple offers and probably go to either the Broncos or the Vikings, who are two of the better jobs out there right now. Now, as well as the Raiders, those are probably the three best jobs by far, with the Giants and Bears just after that. So we'll see. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting watch here. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope. Look, if Ross wants to throw $1 zillion at Quinn, go for it. Whatever it takes. I just don't think he's going to do it. I don't think that's what they want. I think they want him. I still think that's how it's going to play out. But I really hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because if they hire Vance Joseph or Thomas Brown, his fan base, which already ended the season on a sour note, which is already upset that, you know, most of the fan base is upset that the head coach was let go. You got a large portion of the fan base that's upset that they're going to force the quarterback onto the next head coach. This, it would just sort of be a snowball effect of negativity.
Yep. Which we don't need. There's enough negative going on the Dolphins Twitter.
Oh, the internet, Miami Dolphins community, the IDC, I call it, the internet Dolphins community right now is not in a good place. The internet Dolphins community, because it's more than just Twitter. It's also Facebook, Instagram. It's just the IDC, internet Dolphins community, is not in a good place. And I think this coaching search, you know, just prepare yourself, folks. I don't think we're going to get what we want. I really don't. I hope we do. But I think it's going to be a ho-hum type hire. And I think in 2023, that's when we're going to get what we want. Because I don't have a lot of faith in this quarterback making big strides next year. I think he is who he is. And that's a short passing game, dink and dunk type guy, which you can win games with, especially if you have a little bit of a running game. Especially
Tom Brady made a career out of that.
Yeah, but Tom Brady could also, you know, when it was time, ring it up, throw it down the field, and hit a big play. Okay, and Tom Brady also didn't have superstar wide receivers outside of the 1 year with Moss. Didn't have superstar wide receivers. Didn't have a perfect offensive line. Tom Brady
won. He had killer tight ends.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we kind of do too. Tom Brady when it was time to make a play, made a play. And I don't see that instinct in this kid. I haven't seen it in 2 years. You know, there was a report out from Armando Salguero about the golf thing. Look, if he wants to play golf on his off day, it's not the end of the world. But if we're like 1-5 and this kid spent a Monday and Tuesdays playing golf, yeah, I can see how that would rub the head coach the wrong way. I don't care if he played golf yesterday in the offseason. I really don't care about that. But in season, if they are going through a losing stretch, I can sort of see how that would rub some people in the organization, especially our head coach, the wrong way. I totally get it with Flores. That would rub me the wrong way too. So that, I think some people are making way too much out of that, but also don't just sort of brush that under the rug either. Cause you know, being an NFL quarterback, you gotta, if everyone else is working, you know, a 40-hour week, you got to work 50 or 55. You just do. That's the life of an NFL starting quarterback, especially if you want to win and win big in this league. It's just, that's the reality of, but I think some people are making too much out of that. I really do. But we'll see. And once we have some more news and once news breaks, we will have it up here on the website, dolphintalk.com. Like I said, I wrote a bunch of articles this weekend. Go there and check them out about the head coaching search. We have a bunch of videos. We have a bunch of new podcasts up. We have a new podcast from Kevin Dern up on the website. And that's it. So be sure to follow us on Twitter. Follow Tom at Dolphins Talk Tom. Follow myself at Dolphins Talk. Be sure to check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. Go to the Dolphins Talk YouTube page. Go there, as always. Subscribe to the channel, smash the like button, and hit the alert bell as well. And if you put up a comment, even if you think I'm an idiot, tell me I'm an idiot. I will respond and say you have a nice day. So you can interact with us too on the YouTube videos and put up your comments and share with us about what you think of our opinions. You might think we're idiots, and that's okay. As always, thank you for watching this. Thank you for supporting the website, dolphinstalk.com. Everyone have a good Monday night. And folks, remember, let's put an end to highway profanity.
See ya.